are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Alright, welcome. We're recording this on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. I'm Josh Bennett, joined by stats guru Cassidy Palmer, the master of the RPI, Carl James, and Indiana University baseball senior shortstop, Jeremy Houston. So Carl's going to get us started tonight with our Hoosier highlights.
All right. Yes. all right. It is playoff season in the major leagues, and we do have a few Hoosiers that are in the playoffs. Kyle Schwarber and Josh Fegley both made the wild card series roster for the Chicago Cubs. Schwarber did get two walks today in the opening game of their series that the Cubs lost. Aaron Sliggers was on the roster for the Tampa Bay Rays for their series, although he did not end up playing in the very short series. That's pretty much all I've got as far as Hoosier highlights go. So now we'll pass it back to Cass to give us some stats on Jeremy Houston.
Thank you, Carl. I picked out a few career stats that really stood out for Jeremy so far. He has played in a lot of games as a Hoosier. I tried to pull up to see if there's any like idea of record number of games, starts, things like that for non-pitchers. I couldn't find anything, but Jeremy has played in 161 games, including 148 starts in his time as a Hoosier. And that's with a very shortened 2020 season. That is really, really cool to see that kind of number. My kind of math brain really enjoyed the fact that Jeremy has exactly 100 hits on his career, which made it exceptionally easy to calculate that 23% of his hits have gone for extra bases. I like that math, it's helpful. Jeremy has walked in 11% of his plate appearances, which is a pretty solid number for that. And on his career, Jeremy has a 319 on base percentage, with his highest year being his freshman year at, I believe it was 333. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to get to know the IU base and you guys. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Jeremy, I'll get us started here tonight. So you've always been a middle infielder. What kind of drew you to that position or put you in that spot?
Well, my dad, at an early age, since I can remember playing baseball, I always played either shortstop or second base. My mom tells me a funny story about me trying to catch one time, and I guess I got hit with a ball, and she said in the middle of the inning, I took off all the equipment and said, I'm not catching ever again. So I guess that was a short catching career for me. But since I can remember, my dad always stuck me at second base or shortstop, and I guess I just felt comfortable there. And as I got older, I got better at fielding, and I guess I just stuck. So, yeah.
Maybe tell us about one of the toughest plays for you to make it short.
The play that I think is most difficult for me is definitely the backhand. Sometimes I tend to come up on it a little bit too early, but, I got to work on staying down in my legs and working through the ball rather than coming up. So that's definitely one of the toughest plays for me.
Are there any drills that you can run to work on something like that?
That's something I've always worked on, is just always moving my feet and trying to work through the ball no matter what, if it's a forehand, backhand, or the ball right at me. So that's something that I work on quite a bit. Coach Simmons, we've implemented some good infield work drills that we've been doing, which has really helped me, which is things that big leaguers do every day. So those things have been helping me a lot in this shortfall. So, just drills that are mainly focusing on just moving my feet, working through the ball no matter what, and staying down. So
I played middle infield when I was playing, and one thing that people always said or noticed was how short the glove was that I used. How big of a glove do you use?
My glove right now is 11 1/4.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners will understand why, but can you run through maybe why a middle infielder needs a short glove?
For a quicker transfer, when you're turning double plays, I guess you don't want a deeper pocket. So you want to get the ball in and out as fast as you can. So that's why I've always used a smaller glove, and I've always used a smaller glove just because, I mean, it forces me to stay down in my legs. Like my high school, I used an 11-inch glove. So I've always been someone who's just been comfortable using smaller gloves, and it's really made me focus on staying down. And I know when I'm not playing to the best of my abilities defensively, because I mean, an 11-inch, you have to stay down or the ball is going to go on between your legs. So that's something that I've always focused on, and something that's really helped me.
Did you ever get to play on turf much in high school before you got to IU?
I played on turf a little bit, but not very much. It wasn't something it's not too popular around the city of Chicago, or at least like when I was there. I think it's starting to grow more and more throughout the city, but when I was there, no, not very much.
Has that made it easier to play the position?
Yeah, definitely. Turf is something, it's definitely a pro and a con. When you plan on turf, you know that you're not going to get any bad hops. So when you start playing on natural surfaces, your feet starts to get lazier, and you have to really focus on always moving through the ball. That's why I always emphasize that. So turf is definitely something that does wonders for everyone. But when you get on natural surfaces, it can also mess you up. So
going back and forth kind of messes with you a little bit.
Yeah. Definitely.
So maybe tell us some of the best advice you've ever gotten from a coach about playing shortstop.
So some things that my dad and my brother have always told me is play soft and always move your feet. And the harder the ball is hit to you, the softer your body and your hands and your feet gets. So like, I think when you're growing up, a lot of people and a lot of kids, they'll probably notice like when the higher you go, the harder the ball is hit, obviously. But when the ball is hit harder, they all think they got to do more to catch the ball. And honestly, you just loosen up and play softer. So that's always something that stuck with me. And that's just a motto that I've always gone by whenever I'm fielding. So I always try and keep my feet moving, play softer. And the harder the ball is hit, the softer I get.
Very good.
So Jeremy, how important was participating in the White Sox Amateur City Elite program for you?
It was really important. I mean, I got to meet some of my best friends. I mean, we stay in touch still to this day. I mean, we got to play a lot of baseball. We got a lot of great training, a lot of great coaching. So it was something that did some wonders for me, and it helped me and allowed me to meet some great people that I still talk to this day and will continue to build my relationship with in the future. So,
excellent. So how do you think baseball needs to be promoted more in urban areas? As both an athletic option and to kind of to drive more of those college opportunities?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of talent in the urban areas. I mean, it's just something that people have to be willing to see and kids got to be willing to work at. It's just a matter, like in Chicago, basketball and football is such a big sport. Like not many people want to play baseball where I'm from, at least. So like when you do get those baseball players like Ed Howard, he's from where I'm from. Him and my little brother are best friends. So, like, you get special people like that. But in reality, like, there's a lot of players who can play in the city of Chicago. So, I mean, it's just a matter of people going out and finding it and kids actually wanting to work at it.
So, as I kind of mentioned, Jeremy, you've played in a lot of games as a Hoosier. And part of that is because you were thrown right into the starting lineup by Coach Lemonis from day one. How was your adjustment to the D1 level from high school?
Oh, definitely. It was definitely a big adjustment. I mean, the pitching got a lot better, of course. Fielding, it was something that I'm not going to say it was that big of an adjustment, but it was still an adjustment because when I was in high school, my high school coach and the White Sox Ace program, they always stress playing at an efficient speed, I guess you can say. So from an early age, I was always instilled like play with some pace on defense, no matter what. So defensively, it wasn't that big of a jump, but offensively, I mean, as you can still see to this day, I still have some improvement to do, but that was definitely the thing that was the biggest adjustment for me.
And What are some of the other major differences between playing at Mount Carmel and then compared to the college level? And that could be on the field, off the field, anything.
Definitely. So, I mean, when I first got here, I mean, time management was huge. Like being thrown in as a freshman and we haven't, I mean, I don't remember. I talked to my roommates a lot. Well, my previous roommates, like Gorski and Pat and Petro and those guys. And we talk and laugh about it, but we don't ever remember like sleeping. I feel like we were always up. We were always up doing something. It was like 6 a.m. lift. And right after 6 a.m. lift, we have class from 8 to 12. And then right after class, we have practice from 2 to 5. And right after practice, we have study hall from 7 to 9. So like we were always on the go. So I rarely remember like falling asleep and having like a good time in my bed, I guess you can say. Something else is, I guess you could just say the speed of the game, like not only defensively, but offensively, like players are getting faster. I mean, pitchers are getting better. Coaches are getting smarter. So like just little things like that, scouting reports. So that was something that was definitely that I had to get adjusted to as well. So
were there some things that you didn't expect adjusting to in the college life and the college game?
Well, everything that I just said, I kind of expected because my brother, he played college baseball. And I mean, he preached to me when I was a sophomore in high school, like those things are real. Like the speed of the game is definitely going to get a lot faster, which is why like I was prepared for it defensively. But like he told me that offensively, like I was going to struggle at first because, I mean, pitchers are better. Coaches are smarter. Like scouting reports is a thing. Like you can't just go there and just cruise through. You know, college baseball is something that you definitely have to work on and focus on offensively. So I was expecting all of those things from the jump.
So who on the team helped you the most when you came on campus?
When I got here, I had guys like Tony Butler. I mean, Tony Butler is the greatest guy I've ever met. I love that guy. Kobe Stratton. He was my guy. I loved him. Whenever I remember after Tony graduated, whenever I would make a mistake in a defensively, I would always go ask like Kobe, like, what could I have done to like make that play? And he would be like, Jeremy, you're fine. Like, stop overthinking things. You're good. I promise. And then you have guys such as like Chris Lowe, like people you don't see every day who were just great teammates and just like great people in the locker room who I respected so much. And I mean, those are my favorite players still to this day because, like, no one ever saw, like, the things that they did, but they made such a huge impact on everybody in the locker room, so.
So what would be the best piece of advice to the 2021 class as they prepare to come to IU?
I mean, get here and be ready to work. Coach Mercer and his staff, like, when you get here, they expect you to be able to keep up with the upperclassmen. And I mean, just try and don't try and fit in, but like come in here and have your mind straight because like baseball is definitely a huge adjustment. And I mean, you gotta be, when you get here, you gotta be ready to work. That's pretty much it. That's all it is.
All right. Well, your signature at the plate has always been patience. On the surface, that seems to gel well with the approach Coach Mercer has brought. But what did change for you in your hitting approach as Coach Mercer kind of took over the reins of how hitting is done at IU?
It was basically just plate adjustments and looking for certain pitches and certain counts. I remember when I was younger, I swung myself out of a lot of good counts, or I just swung myself out of a lot of good at-bats that I could have had. So I think when Coach Mercer got here, he really allowed me to see, like, the player that I could have been my freshman and sophomore year if I would have just been a lot more patient and just I could have hit the balls that were just like hung over the plate, like the little curveball that pitchers would just snap in or just casually throw like the first or second strike. So just looking for pitches in certain counts and being ready to hit the fastball at all times, stand off fastball timing is something that he always preaches. And that's something that I really struggle with my freshman and sophomore year. So since he's gotten here, I think I've gotten a lot better at that and just looking for certain pitches to hit. So,
and I will say from keeping scorecard for the last however many years, you are probably, I can't say this for sure because I haven't looked back at all of my scorecards. You are probably the guy right up there with most 10 plus pitch at bats. Just the number of times it's like full count, full count, full count, yeah. Just fouling them off.
You know,
you're right up there.
I mean, I guess it's just me and Colin joke about this, Colin Hopkins, but being a pest when you're at the bat, like you don't want to give in no matter what. Just always trying to fight and get to the next pitch because it's not only helping yourself, but it's also helping the team because you're just raising the pitch count for the rest of the team. So, yeah, just being somebody who's just hard and everybody hates seeing come up to bat. So,
yes. Well, you've talked a little bit about turf versus a natural field, but what's it like preparing for the season on defense in the winter in Mellencamp and at the BART where it's a turf field and then suddenly starting the season most of the time on a natural field in a warm weather place?
Yeah. So Mellencamp, great facility. I love that place. Like it's such a great place to like practice in the winter. Like we get our work in, so we're able to scrimmage. We're able to do live BP, live at bats against pitchers and stuff. But as far as defensively, it's definitely a huge adjustment because Mellencamp, the turf is really bouncy. So you can hit a chopper in Mellencamp and you'll definitely be safe. But, I mean, at the BART, like somebody hit a chopper, you have to come get it. And, I mean, you can't really choose your hops. Well, you have to get the first hop in Mellencamp if you want to be able to get anybody out at first base. So it's definitely an adjustment that you have to make. As far as playing on natural surfaces, I mean, like I said earlier, like you always have to keep your feet moving. When you're playing on turf, your feet tends to get a little lazy for everybody. Not only me, but for everybody. I've heard numerous people say it. So it's definitely something you have to work on. And I mean, I remember playing at LSU last year on our Thursday night practice. Like we took so many ground balls because I think coach like realized like right before we got to LSU, our feet had gotten a little lazy from being in Mellencamp and them taking like very little ground balls on BART at the BART. So we took some extra time taking some extra ground balls and just trying to get our feet under us and always keep them moving in through the ball. So
Jeremy, you really had a great 2019 regional performance in Louisville. What was working for you in those three games?
I don't know. I honestly just came out and just tried to keep everything simple and play confident. I mean, I think throughout that year, I didn't play as confident as I should have. And I mean, to that point, I was working to be like the player that I wanted to be. Like I never knew if the team was going to need me, but I told myself like, if they did need me at some point of the season, I was going to be ready no matter what. So I just trusted the work that I put in. And I mean, when I got the opportunity, I played well. So yeah, it was definitely something that I was looking forward to. And I mean, honestly, people might think it's weird, but Justin and I, we are really close. Like we helped each other through that period. Like, you know, like he played over me, of course, which is fine. But like, we still coach each other up. Like if he made a mistake, I coached him up. If I made a mistake, he coached me up. So that's definitely the type of relationship we had. And I mean, we looked out for each other. I mean, that's my guy still to this day. So he kept pushing me, I kept pushing him. And I guess I was just ready for the call when we got to Louisville in the regional. So.
All right. Well, Jeremy, it's possible that you've had the longest home run trot in Indiana baseball history. In the 2017 Big Ten tournament at the BART, a hit that was initially ruled a double went through an extensive review while you were standing on second base before it was overturned and ruled a home run. Now, did you know you'd cleared the fence all along?
So I had an idea that it was a home run, but, you know, I couldn't say anything, of course, because I didn't think – well, I know the ball didn't bounce over the fence. I know it didn't hit the ground and bounce over the fence. So the only way it could have gone out is if it hit the top of the fence and bounced out or if it hit the little camera, whatever, out there. So I had an idea, but, you know, I couldn't have said much. Like, umpires aren't going to listen to the little freshman running around the bases. So I had to keep my mouth closed and just wait and hope that they ruled it as a home run. So. I had to – that moment was pretty cool because I didn't get too many of those growing up, so.
And I was curious what it felt like because, you know, obviously there were quite a few people there. That was – if I remember right, that was the evening game. And so you're right there on – you're on there on second base everyone wants to know what's happening. You got the whole crowd. Everyone's kind of staring at you. I just kind of wonder what that felt like.
it was really cool because I remember looking at Coach Cheese and he was like, he was making like gestures like, you're weak, man. You need to get in the weight room. And I remember, because there's a picture that somebody took and I remember me flexing my muscles at him and saying, no, I'm too strong for this or something like that. So it was actually funny. I remember that moment vividly. And then running, like when after they wrote it in home run, and then running around to the home plate and all my teammates meeting me at the dugout was really surreal and really cool. So, yeah, that was definitely a moment I always remember and some hopefully get to tell my kids about someday. So,
well, Jeremy, you've played in 3 regionals and you have the chance to be the only Hoosier to ever play in 4. What are the biggest differences between regular season and regionals?
I mean, when you get to the end of the season, the team that's the hottest always wins the most. I mean, as we saw Michigan, I mean, they got hot at the right time when they made it to the College World Series. I mean, we beat them, I think, just 2 weekends before the regular season ended. And then right after that, they got on a roll, which was amazing. I mean, some of my best friends played on that team. And I remember just watching some of them. So the team that gets the hottest at the right time always makes it far, no matter what. And I know Coach Mercer always preaches this, but the team that plays best with 2 strikes and 2 outs always wins games. So if you can take care of the ball with two outs and the pitchers can throw strikes with two strikes, those teams always win. And people who can compete with 2 strikes also. So teams that can do that and play well and get hot, they always make it far. So.
And what are some of your favorite postseason memories?
Let's see. I remember my freshman year, we were at Kentucky. Coach Lamonish took us out to steak dinner. And right after that, we were just sitting outside, just like messing around with the team. And I think he allowed some people to go get ice cream. And I don't know. Something special about that moment was just really cool. I remember just talking to Alex Krupa and those guys, messing with Craig D'Lo. So that was really cool. And I think Texas, after we beat Texas A&M, that was also really cool. I know it was really hot that game. I mean, after the first game, we had to get ready for the second game, but that atmosphere was like no other. I mean, that was really cool. I remember that definitely. And even though we lost that game, I think that was still one of the coolest moments I've ever been a part of. So
Jeremy, would you rather hit one in the gap and stretch it into a triple or throw a guy out from deep in the hole to end an inning?
Throw a guy up from deep in the hole, definitely. I'm a defense first type of guy, so.
Love it. Love it.
So, Jeremy, at what point did you decide to take advantage of the extra year of eligibility granted due to the COVID shutdown?
Well, I actually graduate this December. So I was waiting for, the NCAA to give us the yes or no, pretty much. So when Coach Mercer called me and said, like, NCAA is allowing everybody to come back, I mean, I was all for it. I was really just waiting for the yes or no. So that was something that was always in my mind. I've always wanted to finish, like, if I didn't get drafted, of course, I always wanted to play my senior year and, you know, have that senior day and get the jersey and all that stuff. So that's something that I've always looked forward to. I know it's not going to be the same. I mean, I don't have Cal's, but I mean, guys such as like Cal Kruger, who, I mean, we've been talking about having like our senior day together since, I mean, who knows how long. So that's definitely a little bit bittersweet, but I don't know. So yeah, it's always something I've been looking forward to though.
So what are your personal goals for 2021?
Honestly, making it to the College World Series. I mean, we've made it to the regionals. I mean, I would love to host a regional, host a super regional, but ultimately making it to the College World Series is something that I've always strived to do. And I mean, whatever I have to do to help my team win, I'm going to do. So honestly, that's the only real goal for me. I don't have anything statistically that I want to achieve. I just want my team, help my team make it to the College World Series. So
Jeremy, as a senior, what have you done or what are you looking to do to lead the younger players on the team?
Honestly, coming in to play college baseball is something, it's not easy. It's a big adjustment for everybody. So just being like a scapegoat for all the younger guys and letting them know, like, it's okay. Like, if you need to vent, I'm here. Like, just giving them a place of comfort and someone to talk to is always something that's been huge for me, because, like, I had that my freshman year. I had guys such as Tony Butler, Kobe Stratton, even though he came back the next year, and Luke Stevenson, Craig Dietilo. Like, those guys are always, like, their arms are always open, and they always wanted, like, freshmen, if they had a hard time, to come and talk to them. So that's something that I've definitely learned from them, and that's something that I strive to do every day. I want the freshmen to know that this is a place to be comfortable. Like, no matter how bad you're doing, like, it's still okay. Like, you'll live the next day, and I'm here to tell you that I'll still pack you on the back no matter who you are. So,
well, you've already said that you're going to be graduating in December. What are you focusing on academically this year?
Finishing strong. I think I'm taking four classes right now. I have my 8-week course ends, I think, in 2 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that to end, and then I'll pick another one right back up. And then I'll graduate in December, and this spring, I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't really know much to say. Hopefully I have the highest GPA on the team. Ooh. Coming for you, Drew Ashley. We'll see about that, though. So
what are your plans for after your baseball career ends, whenever that may be?
I'm not too sure about that either, honestly. I've always wanted to be a teacher of some sort. I've always wanted to be a coach of some sort. So that's something that I've been thinking a lot about as of lately, especially as it being my fifth year. So I'm definitely thinking about going back home, maybe helping my dad coach his team, or if I can get an opportunity to coach any type of college, I think I'll definitely take that and run with it. So we'll see. I'm just being patient right now and trying to get through this fall, get the diploma in December, and then start planning my future if I don't get drafted, of course. So,
what are you majoring in?
Sports marketing management.
Where's your dad coaching, Jeremy?
He actually coaches the White Sox ace program. So he's in 12U right now. So he's been coaching all his life. After my mom thought that he'd be done after my younger brother graduated high school, but I guess not. He's up an even younger age group. So yeah.
That gets in your blood.
Yeah, definitely. So.
All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Chris Feeney prepared many of the questions for tonight's interview, as usual. So read up on Indiana baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CU at the Bart and at iubase17. On Instagram, iubase, and subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, featuring these video podcasts, game clips, game day media availabilities, and more. So for Carl James, Cassidy Palmer, and Jeremy Houston, I'm Josh Bennett. We'll see you at the Bart.